John McAfee is a human cum sock. Hello, humans, and welcome to Audio Face. We are an irreverent podcast about music, news, and culture that mostly matters. I am Sean.
I'm Dan.
This is episode 192. We've got some music for y'all. We've got a plethora of music today. We've got three albums that we'll be getting to. We've got Call Me If You Get Lost, because it's an all caps, so I have to yell it out loud like
always.
That, by Tyler, the Creator. We have Planet Her by Doja Cat, and we have Deadpan Love by Cautious Clay. We also have three singles, we'll get to those in a second, as always. But Dan, how's your week been? You know, it's been an interesting week in humans, in online personalities, yeah, and debates and Skype calls and all that stuff. So.
Yeah, this has been a landmark week. Clippage. Okay, there you go. This has been a landmark week in Skype calls and people on the internet making Skype calls and technical difficulties on those Skype calls and surprise moments on those Skype calls. We'll be talking about some of the more relevant ones on that in a little bit. Oh, and yeah, on maybe if I can squeeze out a PowerPoint episode, like a quick one this week, maybe. Well, talk about it on, yeah, there too. Gotta be quick. But yeah, lots of stuff going on. My week has been pretty good. As you can see, my setup is slowly evolving into things. I've got a different microphones. Hopefully I'm sounding a little bit better. Hopefully Peter enjoys the editing process of this a little bit more, because it should be easier. Sean sounds amazing too, but like his mic situation has always been pretty good. So like there's also that. But
we're using All Reliable here, Mr. Snowball.
Yeah. Snowball mic that I did get for you, for the record, a while ago.
Yeah, exactly. You did get me in like 2017. Yeah. So
when we did Audio Face Remote 1.0 back in 2017. Speaking of 2017, something that's really reminding me of 2017 is the fact that in new singles, because they're new singles, Ed Sheeran released a new single, and it's like
it's pretty shit, but you know.
Yeah, Ed Sheeran's getting to like bad to worse, like new levels of this. I didn't know it was like possible, yeah, really.
So he released a single, Bad Habits. First thing since his album, I think it's called Divided or something like that, whatever, it has Shape of You. And I was like, that's the worst song ever made by humankind. One of the worst songs made by humankind. I don't know if it beats High Hopes. But anyways, he just does this. He did the Coldplay, but like extreme home edition Coldplay, where you like go mental with selling out so forth that you don't even sound like your old self at all. Because Ed Sheeran, I know when he first started, he was literally made everything himself. And he went to any of his shows, he did everything himself. And it was decent. I necessarily was a big fan or anything, but I could respect him pretty well as an artist. But now he just makes generic pop and Bad Habits. Even I was talking to a couple people, the past 2 days, about asking their thoughts, and everybody's like, yeah, this ain't good. This ain't a good look.
Yeah.
It's not that great of a song.
I truthfully don't know what's going on with him. I wish I could say more about the song, but it's just not. I mean, like with him, I'm sure he's fine so as a person, but it's just so really bland. It's really dull. Yeah. So moving on. We have Tragic by Jasmine Sullivan, which begins with that great Reclaiming My Time quote and just kind of just goes off. Jasmine Sullivan's great. I love her. Reclaiming My Time.
We reviewed her album earlier this year, so that's why I was interested to see that a single come out pretty quickly from her, but it's still banner of a track. Really, really enjoy it. Still like her album. We put some of that on the Audio Face playlist, 2021 AF, which you can find on Spotify, as always. Great track, though. She's still banging it out, which is good. Next one we have
little indulgence. Just a little indulgence.
Yeah, you know, a little fun. You know, we always got to do, you know, we had to listen to Ed Sheeran so we get some Roosevelt, you know. We've got On My Mind, / About You EP, those two tracks. I think it's a good, a good move for him for these two tracks, because when we reviewed his album that came out, was it tail end of last year, yes? Or was it beginning this year? I forget when.
Yeah, no, it was early this year. Yeah.
It was early this year?
February.
Okay. I really enjoyed it, but then I was like, okay, what more can he do? Is there anything else? Or like, what? How is he going to evolve? And I think On My Mind, About You are a good way to kind of put him in this transition space between works. Obviously, he's not going to release another album, but these songs definitely wouldn't have worked on his album that came out, but their experimentations are a little bit different than what was worked on some previous stuff that he's done, and they're good. Like About You is a pretty long track and it has a lot of just like synthesizers and stuff without any vocals towards like the second half of the track, and it's him really messing around with like different dance music stuff and everything, and I really enjoy it. Kind of a lot of 70s theme too with it, which I don't have an issue with.
Yeah, I really liked that track, and I had the same thoughts you did, surprisingly maybe, that after hearing the last Roosevelt album, I kind of wanted to see whether he was going to take it forward in any sort of direction in particular. And I'm glad to see that, definitely in About You. On My Mind's like a good sort of like continuation, like post Roosevelt's most recent album, like EP, but or like song, but About You at least like feels like it's doing something a little bit where it's like going forward and pushing the boundaries a little bit. And I'm really glad about that. I really think I can like that a little bit more. I wish I could appreciate it more, but there was just a lot of music I was listening to this week. So, I'll get to enjoy it more in a bit.
Yeah, as always, it's a good step in the right direction. So plugs.
Yes. Plugs as I figure out all this micage situation. It's so cool being able to at least like pivot all this stuff. Anyways.
Hey, I could actually see you now. Pause.
Awesome. So it's just like I don't care. You can see me live now. That's okay. Cool.
Yeah. Now we're Charlemagne. We is live.
Cool. That's awesome. All right. I feel good about that. So, Audio Face, you know where to find the playlist, of course, the 2021 AF playlist that we're building of the coolest songs of the year. Check that out at the Spotify link that is in any of our YouTube videos or on our podcast description. You know where to find that. Bonus episodes, make sure you check out our bonus episodes. We've been haven't been doing those because we have a really intense summer that's been happening in addition to like all of the setup upgrades and things like that. It's just a wild summer of music that's happening. All these artists out here just got to release all this stuff. So that is getting started.
Got to make money.
Got to do the touring, got to make money, got to make their albums. And hey, we got to make our podcast. That works too. So check out those bonus episodes though. They are still great. People are still loving them. And YouTube, I have a bunch of like backlog of YouTube videos that I need to get posted from the last couple of weeks because I've been just moving around, but make sure you're subscribed to our YouTube at youtube.com/audiophasepod because we'll be getting a lot of videos from this week and from the past couple of weeks up there very soon, along with some of the Power Report videos that I will plan to get on very soon. So powerreport.world or youtube.com/danfromtheinternet for all of those things. And thank you, Peter, for making this episode sound really cool, hopefully, at deadmusic666 on Instagram. So with that, let's get into the stories, right?
So we're going straight into the douchebag corner. So
Sorry to interrupt, Sean, but I should have, this is my fault for poorly preparing the show. I should have called this the Told You So corner.
Oh, extreme Told You So, because I was going to get to that in a second. I'm going to say my favorite person on Audio Face that I like to call everybody out on, right? Sir Christopher Brown. So everybody's over here like, oh, Rihanna maybe forgave him, or I'll work with him because he's talented, this or that. Dude is a certified beater. We have been saying this for years. It's not going to change. If you don't give him attention or anything, you don't let him rehabilitate or this or that, you just keep like pushing it down, then it's not going to happen for the better. And what happens? Well, he's accused of hitting a woman, apparently. So apparently in LA, TMZ, the no, no, dun, 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 and NBC News, apparently someone from the LAPD officers responded to reports of an argument at a residence in the San Fernando Valley. Always got to be in the fucking Valley, right?
Valley of the Pagans.
Altercation. Yeah. Right. Apparently, there's an investigative battery going on, but don't know if Chris Brown's going to face charges or anything. But there's this whole thing going on where apparently he hit somebody, hit a woman, naturally, because it's what he does best.
TMZ with the, you know, all the details that we may or may not want.
The investigative journal
says that the alleged victim received a smack across her head that caused part of her weave to come out. She reportedly didn't sustain any injuries, and Brown has not been arrested. But the most this troubled singer could face is a misdemeanor. And I'm actually surprised that the media at all is even referring to, like, in any sort of way, Chris Brown as a troubled singer. Because it seems like everyone but, like, us and a select few people in the music space have even been reminding people about the whole, like, Rihanna thing.
Seriously?
Like, come on.
It's just, like, I just don't understand people where that's another thing when he gets on all these albums, other things. I'm like, stop giving him a platform, stop giving him these things, because he's a terrible human and he's going to keep continuing to do these things. You put these people in power, then they're going to have even more avenues to beat people, basically. And
well you're going
yeah,
to,
it's bad.
You're going to give like essentially a slap on the wrist. You're basically saying
this
behavior is fine. And not only is that behavior fine, but you can actually be wildly successful while doing this behavior. Exactly. And it's not really going to hurt you at all. It's not
precedent. Does that
set? Exactly. It's not going to set any press. It sets a really bad precedent, and you see the repercussions of that. You get like the XXXTentacions, all these
the
really
the R. Kelly's and all that. There's plenty.
Yeah. I don't. That's pretty much like the reason we like make this point all the time about these artists is that because like you have to perpetuate a set of behaviors and moral codes in the music industry that people can like stand behind and can sort of like include all people and be like respecting of people. Like, you know, you get in fights, you get in disputes, like that's sort of different. But like this sort of like pattern of domestic violence against women is just sort of shouldn't be celebrated. But he's gonna be touring. He's gonna continue touring. And no one's really gonna care about this, but you know, it's happening right now. We saw it. And
fucking course.
Meanwhile, while we are in the douchebag corner over here, we're just talking about jerks.
This is wild.
So we both know a lot and a little about the story. I'll just say that Jared Drake Bell has pled guilty on this past week to two charges relating to crimes involving a minor. And basically all the information we have is it's endangering a minor, but there's like not really a lot of information about the incident beyond that. It was a Canadian 15-year-old girl that was visiting a Cleveland, Ohio concert with Drake Bell. And according to the Cleveland police, Bell, quote, violated his duty of care, unquote, during the event. But literally there's like no information
what occurred. What the hell does that mean, by the way?
Yeah. I don't like...
That might be one of the vaguest statements I've ever heard. Violated his duty of care. It's like, you don't fight with honor. You're like, what? What does that mean?
Yeah, like, where? Hope it's not ASMRing my water. Drinking is so sorry. But like, I'm thinking maybe it's because it's like a minor situation. They don't want to say too much about the case exactly.
The thing is he's had issues in the past and stuff too, where he's had a criminal past. And didn't he like fled to Spain or Spain, fled to Mexico, changed his name and some shit too, did some weird things. There's a lot with Drake Bell. So guy's crazy.
Oh my God. I totally forgot about that. I completely forgot
didn't
about
he,
that.
Didn't he fled to Mexico, change his name because
he changed his name to Campana.
Didn't he have like some sexual assault thingy or something in the US? I like to say.
It was around the time he was vehemently denying some like assault allegations from one of his exes. So yeah, again, this is the douchebag corner. And Drake Bell's like, you know, he's not that big of a musician at this point, so not like that's a big of a deal, but who knows. So anyways, first album review. Want to get into that?
Yeah, we've got Call Me If You Get Lost by Tyler, the Creator. It is 16 songs, 52 minutes long. That's a lot of music. There's a lot in this album. I don't even know how to start this damn thing. So one thing, all the songs are pretty short, minus one in the middle. Sweet Stash, I thought you...
I'd say the songs are somewhat short, but generally medium, because you have a lot like 2.5, 3 minute songs, 3.5, 4 minute songs, and you have two really long songs. You have a two-part song,
super long
track. Track 10, and then you have Wilshire at the end, which is this whole different sort of like grand Tyler the Creator ballad thing. It is definitely a capital A album, that's for sure.
Yes. We really like Igor. I mean, I really enjoyed Igor a lot. I thought it was a good pivot for Tyler, the Creator, especially with some of his previous works and stuff that I didn't necessarily enjoy. Some of his antics and stuff can get annoying, but nothing was too crazy with him compared to a plethora of other artists.
Yeah, Tyler, the Creator started out as like a major like shock jock artist, and then really started to show that he had lyrical talent and prowess later on through his career. Had it in early spots early on, but then was starting to do it less with kind of like the shock jock value with it, and really showed he could have a hit with Igor, which was just like a smash success.
Exactly. Yeah. So first track, it's pretty short. It's only 1.5 minutes. It's like kind of sets up the album. It's Tyler, the Creator, and you have DJ Drama on there as well. By the way, all of the features, everybody who contributed the album, anybody who had had vocals on it, was fan-fucking-tastic on this album. Just random side note. But anyways.
Including artists who... Also to say, like, including artists you wouldn't normally like, but more on that later.
Exactly. More on that later. But anyways, Corso, second track, kind of like gets you into the theme, a little bit more of the theme as well. Really like the beats, really like the production in this. It just feels like a giant, almost like a celebration in a sense of like how the production feels. It's kind of hard to explain. It's just like you want to get up and move. You want to bop a little bit. Obviously, some of the lyrics are really, really deep and could be hard at points and everything naturally as Tyler Creator does. But within the production of it, you just want to move, you want to bop to it, which is interesting on that, because sometimes when you can get a lot of hard rap or trap and stuff, sometimes you can listen to it and it would be a lot and it doesn't necessarily make you want to dance, you just want to sit there and just enjoy it. But I thought that was an interesting spin on it. After Corso, you have Lemonhead with 42 Doug. Fun track. It's 42 Doug, I don't really know much about him, but everything on that track, it's decent. You have, I don't even know, what was your name, I assume.
Yeah.
That's how you say that. with Youngboy Never Broke Again, which is somebody who I don't normally like, I thought was actually pretty good in this track. Your body competitive fashion, I hope you ain't got in the shit that I bought. Cause money ain't don't mean a thing, I lay the time that I take you out. 1 minute, it's a beautiful scene. And by the end, when we been took out. Think so, cause I move fast. What's your name, girlfriend? What's your name? What's your name, girlfriend? What's your name? If you released the album last year, that I think you enjoyed that, right? His album that came out last year.
Yeah, it was all right.
I thought it was okay, but I thought he was a really overrated artist. But hearing him as a feature, I actually really liked him in this track. Really liked the old school hip hop vibes on it. It's a funny track and stuff when you get to it. What do you think for the beginning?
Yeah, in the beginning part of the album, the sort of like warmness get down you're describing to me was sort of a callback to both like a Tyler the Creator, very Tyler the Creator spin on boom bap early era hip hop. to me. Like throughout okay, this yeah. entire album, a lot of it even seems like a callback, especially Safari at the very end, not to like skip to the very end, but it seems like a callback to like Deadly MF Safari. Doom's production even. And like we've talked very yes. early on, especially in the MF Doom bonus episode that we did earlier this year about Tyler the Creator's
huge fan, Doom fan. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The influence of Tyler the Creator, an entire Odd Future collective.
The cutest video ever is him and Earl Sweatshirt going like fangirling over meeting Doom and being at his concert and everything like maybe about 10 years ago or something.
Yeah.
It's the most wholehearted thing in music I've seen in a while.
Especially because that was just Tyler just barely coming out of his like hard kill people burn shit fuck school phase. yeah, that was just an amazing like flip and go like, oh, okay, Tyler, there's emotions there. Amazing. But yeah, the beginning of the album, I really like. You get into Lumberjack, which I've been bumping pretty hard ever since we even heard it from a new single.
Great track.
I mean, he should...
That's where after What's Your Name, because the first four tracks are like more, you know, laid back, fun tracks. Lumberjack just been great track placement right after What's Your Name to put that there, because it just gets you into the, okay, here's the deep, really consolidated Tyler that we all know and love.
Yeah, he's like the full-on talented shit. Yeah, he's really good. Lumberjack is one of those songs you make in a rap career where you're at the point where you're just boasting. Like you're just like at the top of your game. You just like know what you're doing. You actually have like hype people kind of behind your song. Kendrick Lamar got to this during To Pimp a Butterfly, making King Kunta. It was like that kind of track for him. Just sort of like boasting about being really great about it, which yeah, is interesting because you get a different idea of what the vibe of the album is listening to songs 1 through 5 than you do as you get to like 6, 7, 8, etc. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It's totally different, which I like that because my issue with a lot of rap and trap albums is it can kind of stay at one neutral level the entire time. Very few artists can, you know, go up and down and give you that roller coaster of emotions throughout an album, not just lyricisms, but with the production, everything else as well, with all of the musicality of tracks to really set you through completely different moods and really play onto your heartstrings with other tracks and other things to play into your more lighthearted stuff and everything. So it's very difficult to do, especially within a whole rap album. After Lumberjack, you have Hot Wind Blows with Lil Wayne, which I thought is another great track. Lil Wayne's part's actually good too. Wasn't Uncle Rappy from Lil Wayne. I thought it was decent.
It was nothing to like write home about, but like didn't mess up the flow of the album at all, which is all it needed to do.
Exactly. Because Lil Wayne could easily have just like ran some shitty bars to it and then just, you know, bring this album to screeching halt, but luckily it didn't happen. He just let it go through it. Massa right after that reminds me a lot of a Doom, like a couple of Doom tracks where it just kind of like, you feel like you're walking through New York City randomly with a hood on, just chilling by yourself, and you're just thinking about the world.
Yeah, Brooklyn specifically, like some really sort of like jazzy, laid back kind of like flip kind of thing. Nothing really trappy necessarily, but still very contemporary and modern feeling. It's definitely something that Tyler the Creator's production style, it's refreshing, and Tyler the Creator's production style just like really meets this moment for moving beyond trap music and doing something that's like a little bit of a different flip on the whole thing.
And then here's an interesting track. It's Run It Up with Tizo Touchdown. No fucking clue who that is. But anyways, Run It Up sounds a lot like Man of the Year by Schoolboy Q that came out last year, I think, or a little while back. There's like the flow of it and everything, which is fine because I really like Man of the Year by Schoolboy Q. Like that track, I listen to it a lot. But I thought it was just interesting. It reminded me of the flow of it and everything on it, but I thought it was Run Up's a good track. But I just thought I could kind of hear a little bit of an influence or little similarities between those two tracks in there. I just thought it was just an interesting comparison. But
yeah, I like Manifesto just because it's the return of Domo Genesis, and Domo Genesis is one of my favorites from the Odd Future Collective in general, and I think it's just like cool to see him like, oh cool, he's still there and he's still around. He's been doing stuff here and there, but to see him like unite again on a Tyler the Creator album where like he's got a really prominent part is really cool. And the beat's like kind of it feels like a new spin on an Odd Future style song. Like it's a little eerie while the fast pacing is going. With the message, I know I ain't got the answer, but I ain't gonna cheerlead with y'all just to be a dance. I'm a groove to my
own drums. Sunlight in my shadow, baby. Move till my soul comes. Let them serpents rattle, baby. Cracking light, broke porcelain, bitch. We ocean deep if you just pour us in a portion of shit. Then people try to twist my view on some contortionist shit. I had to reevaluate what was important as shit. Finders keepers when you creep inside my mind is madness. If I see peace, I'm like a fiend. Gotta have it. Lord, cover me, I'm going in.
And it's a nice sort of like thing to, you know, not quite a filler song, but it's something that is a good palate cleanser almost, because you get right into sweet slash I thought you wanted. Such a long title.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought you wanted to dance. That's right. And that's a song and a half. Literally a song and a half. It's 9 minutes, 48 seconds long.
It's a thing. I like it. It was just funny. It was just an album like, is the same fucking song. I look, I go, holy shit, okay, he just dropped a 10-minute song on us right now. All right. It's a lot. It's a lot in one thing, but I thought it kind of dragged on towards the end a little bit when you get this almost like Latin style beat and everything towards the end, where it just kind of dragged on a little bit for it. But the rest of the track I thought was actually pretty good. Good thing with the great placement for the album is after track 10, you have Mama Talk right after, which is a short little interlude thingy, which is perfect because you want to have that kind of thing to then set up Rise, which I thought is a decent track.
Yeah. Rise is really fun.
A few times where, because we have more and more artists and stuff doing this with interludes and little things to connect songs, and sometimes I feel like they can get out of place. I just drag an album out too far and everything, but in the sense of the way the flow and everything of this album, they need to be put there the way they are.
Yeah. I think the album is really well placed out, definitely. And it has to be, just to kind of like work in the format that's currently like trying to do. After that you get Blessed, which is like another sort of interlude thing. I think definitely the last part of the album seems like a sort of holding pattern in between Sweet and Wilshire until you get to Juggernaut. Juggernaut's really interesting because another one of those cases where, god damn it,
you got Mr. Lil Uzi and Pharrell Williams, Vampire Pharrell Williams,
like, never mind Pharrell Williams, like making hits from whatever, but Lil Uzi Vert, Lil Uzi Vert is really good on his features when he doesn't do all the auto-tune nonsense. It's perfectly fine. But then he goes on his album and he's like, yeah, give me all of the electronic fucking around with the beats you can possibly do and like multiply it times 10, right?
Give me that random Verizon commercial where the guy's auto-tuned voices all the way pitched up and let's make a full album for like 3 hours. That's what he likes to do. But within him as a future, it's always good. Or tends to be pretty good, so.
Say the money coming in, yeah, that's true. The more money I get, I don't want sex you. Can't think about the last time that I text you. It's probably when sidekicks had them belt loops. Sign my giant hand cock on a bitch, ain't time I check you.
And part Wilshire, another long-ass track I thought was good, but it ends up the last track, Safari, which is just amazing. I really, really enjoyed this track a lot. I've listened to this a shit ton.
Yeah, Wilshire really fast is like this 8-minute.
It reminds me of Meathead from MF Doom and Bishop Nauru. That was on Bishop Nauru's last album. It, like the production, everything reminded me of that song a lot.
Safari, you mean?
I've been switching gears to Tracy Ellis Ross with UPN. Clutched and he stroke, gotta know it like a droopy grin. Took that Grammy home, couldn't lose again. The suit was so sharp that it could get Medusa coochie trim. Hov talking about 100 million, nigga, move me in. Like who that young, rich, handsome nigga with the gooey skin. Mama named him Tyler and his brother's
car. Oh, yeah, yeah, no, it reminds me of the song Meathead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I totally get you on that. I can definitely, it sounds like something that would be on, exactly like you said, a Bishop Nauru Doom thing. Wilshire, like, you have to talk about that. Like, that is a wild song. It's sort of like Tyler, the Creator, going through the story of, like, this...
growing up in LA, you know.
I mean, like, there's that, but it's, like, this also love triangle relationship thing with, like, his friend, his, like, significant other that's, like, sort of deep or random or whatever. Like, it's definitely, like, a deep story. It's one of those interesting times where you get an artist who's telling a full-on sort of tale within a song and has this multiple layers. I think, like, it's a really good creative exercise. And of the two sort of like long-ass songs coming, like long-ass love songs becoming like a piece in here, definitely Wilshire is the bigger like success piece in that, as opposed to Sweet.
Oh yeah.
It's really just like, like for an art level of Tyler, the Creator, it's really, really good. It just almost borders on that line of like, it can almost be too pompous for itself when you're doing like two of these and it's so sort of like unfocused near the end and meandering. But like it as an experience, as an album, I think it works really well. And Safari near the end is just like a great like track, I think. So overall, it's really good. I think on my first couple listens, I was thinking it was at least on par or better than Igor. And I would still say it's one of those. I need a lot more time to figure that out definitively.
Yeah, it's gonna take me a while. Igor, I like just for how different it is, and for like, there's a couple songs in there that I really, really enjoy a lot, because I was never a big Tyler fan before that album. So this album did make me respect him even more within it, because he kind of bridged, again, like what I talked about with his singles, that it's starting to bridge the gap between the older Tyler and Igor Tyler, and all of the stuff that he's done throughout his career, kind of make it into what is his own sound, what is his own persona and everything, which is very difficult to do, but he does it in the right way, but still puts a twist on it to make it sound modern, sound fresh, but stay true to himself as an artist. It's a fantastic album. Overall,
absolutely, go listen to it. You probably have, you're watching this video or listening to this podcast at this point, but if you haven't, go listen to it. It's really good. Arbitrary Scale this week is Dead Tech CEO who like burn out like John McAfee and like do ridiculous shit, because that's the fun part of the Arbitrary Scales, is that they really don't need to make sense. So the wilder the better. And I'm going to give this one the John McAfee of the week, because he started out by building antivirus software and then sold his company, started basically living the Dan Bilzerian lifestyle and started like renting out yachts.
Actually able to afford the Dan Bilzerian lifestyle and not be a fake too. Like actually show up the cash.
Yeah, he's what Mark Cuban wishes he did with his money instead of like hosting game shows for the NBC network.
Yeah.
This is just going all out, because you're just at the king. You're at the top of your game. So hats off to Tyler, the Creator.
100%. 100%.
You're going to go with the same one?
Yeah, easily. Because,
Word.
100%.
All right, moving on.
Anyways. So, Mr. Damon Albarn, he announces a new album in the Nearer the Fountain. The nearer the fountain, more pure the stream flows. That's a fucking title of an album. Apparently he's gonna have it out I think November 12th or 13th, around that time, if I recall correctly. And he's gonna have he shared some track title track and then reviewed the 2022 dates.
This will be Damon's first album since Everyday Robots. Oh, let's be clear. This will be Damon Albarn's first solo album since Everyday Robots came out in 2014. Then he's made at least like six different
85
albums
different things. Different names. I'm going to say, yeah, The Good, The Bad, The Clean. You had Gorillaz, Rideau. You had Gorillaz and Gorillaz and Gorillaz. I mean, there's a lot.
Damon had a couple different projects that are like films done with Jamie Hewlett here and there. I think you had... what was that Rocket Juice and the Moon, that one like African collective project? There's so much.
Just whatever you do, Damon, please don't involve Jamie Hewlett. Let him have a vacation for once in his life. Just let him like, you know, chill, take like 6 months off, you know, be the family, be the kids. Free Jamie.
I do think this album will I think this will sound definitely different from a Gorillaz album. I think this will be a Damon Albarn melancholy solo thing. I don't expect a lot of synthesizers. I expect a lot more like, you know, like Everyday Robots, very acoustic, sad boy, melancholy things. Of course, I'll love it, but like we'll see how that goes. I do wonder about Damon Albarn getting a creative break though at some point.
Okay.
Some point. But moving on.
Yeah. So we moving on, we got our second album review of the day. We have noted Haynes Around with Nazis, allegedly, Doja Cat. Her album, Planet Her, I only have the deluxe on Spotify, so I don't know the full thing, but it's like 19 songs an hour long for the deluxe version. I'm not sure what is not on the normal version, but whatever.
So they have both. The normal version's 14 songs, 44 minutes long, and ends at Kiss Me More featuring SZA.
Oh, there, that's weird. This wasn't on my phone. Okay, well, that's fine.
So when I first heard it on Friday, there was no deluxe version. And then when I went to go listen to it a second time, like late Saturday night, there was a deluxe version.
Okay, so 14 songs, 44 minutes long. So that makes sense. Okay, cool. Anyways, here's her, what is this, her third LP second or something? Because I think her first one was in 2018. Both her previous works, Hot Pink and Amala, were pretty popular and everything, and got her onto the radar of so many different artists and everything. Hot Pink had some decent tracks in it and everything, but this is definitely more of like a strict pop album and everything. And to me, it's interesting. It feels like a complete miss for her, because there wasn't, to me, any songs that feel like they could really gain like any real traction. It just feels like an Ariana Grande style record or anything, where just it's nothing is pops out at all. It's just really flat. It's like you just have a Sprite that sit for 3 hours at the cookout. You grab it, you drink it, like, oh god damn it, the Sprite's really flat. But there's nothing else, so I guess I gotta drink this for now.
Yeah,
that's what it's like.
Once again, there's just a really good description of it where. I've listened to this album. I have a couple of songs where, like, I understand this is pop and it's going to be shoved down everyone's throats. And there are some songs in here that are okay. But, like, on their own, they're not necessarily standouts. And this is only catching up Doja Cat to maybe, like, last year's, like, your Dua Lipa, your Lady Gaga sort of.
Yeah, exactly. Because here's the thing, too, because with Hot Pink, you had, like, that one, you have Say So, and like that with The Goose Is Loose, and a couple other tracks in there that, like, that were pretty popular and everything, and that were decent tracks and everything for what they were. But with Thin Planet Her, I felt like it was a step backwards for her, where all of these other pop artists that have come out, most of them women, are just fucking destroying it. They're releasing really good music out there, and it's such a saturated market, it's just nothing that great. Even the features and everything, they weren't fantastic. You had Payday with Young Thug, which is whatever. You had I Don't Do Drugs with Ariana Grande, which wasn't that great of a track. Even The Weeknd with You Right, his part on there just felt just really overwashed and didn't feel that great or genuine compared to the stuff on his album that came out last year. So I was left a little disappointed in that. Even with SZA on the last track of Kiss Me More, I didn't think it was okay, but it wasn't super standout-ish. So that was another interesting thing, too. I don't know if it was the songwriters and stuff in there just were all really bland or something, and they needed a more coke or whatnot. I have no idea what the songwriters needed more of, but this felt pretty bland.
With You Right, I actually felt like Doja Cat and The Weeknd sort of had a good chemistry there song-wise. I think
They definitely go together for sure. Like their voices and everything mixed, but it wasn't anything outstanding. It's outstanding.
Yeah. Both artists could be outstanding. Definitely The Weeknd, Doja Cat, maybe not yet, but could be. And it's just not the best sounding, like, standout thing. I definitely don't know why that needed an extended mix on the quote unquote deluxe version of all songs. That's hilarious. But like the Dua Lipa Lady Gaga comparison comes from, like, okay, the really big pop artists now are really doing this sort of I don't know what I guess we call it best now, but it's sort of this mix of pop music that's trying to do like a flashback to or callback to disco and sort of early, very early 80s sort of electronic things and motifs in music, right? This just seems like a very hackneyed version of that. Like even from the first song, like Woman, you sort of like get the idea, and it's like sort of a catchy sort of thing, and she sort of goes into this like I almost want to say Anderson Paak, flow with it. And I'ma be there for you cause you on my team, girl. Don't ever think you ahead of these niggas' dream, girl. They want to pit us against each other when we succeed. And for no reasons, they want to see us end up like we Regina or Mean Girl. Princess or queen, tomboy or king. You've heard a lot, you've never seen. Mother Earth, Mother Mary, rise to the top. Divine feminine, I'm feminine. And so I can see some lyrical talent there, right, that she can do. Yeah, and, yeah. Like, yeah, I still would say, above average, this is a better song than a lot of the men that are releasing music, especially right now. Not just saying that to, like, get some sort of, like, regular points. It's just, like, lyrically, these bars are just a little bit more varied, just a bit, but a little bit more varied than a lot of what the men are producing, just a fact. But the production and the bars altogether don't really add up to a project that really comes forward as much as, yeah, even Hot Pink did. Because, like, Juicy was a really big hit, and there's nothing I don't really see on here. Oh, yeah, that track is
played everywhere. And I, as annoying as it was, it's like, I couldn't, like, adhere to that's decent pop. It's going to be played everywhere and everything. But, and exactly, it's a very clever track. Even the one with Gucci Mane and a couple others in there, I thought were like, hey, that's decent work. But for this album, it's just, it's a step in the wrong direction for sure.
Yeah. nothing ends this album perfectly quite like the deluxe album ending with Why featuring Gunna. Because it's fundamentally just like, most of the extended version, I'd say Tonight featuring Eve is like fine, but most of the extended version are just throwaway songs, and Why featuring Gunna is just like the absolute most like Splinky in a toilet track like ever I've ever heard in my life. Just completely didn't need to exist. Overall, maybe one of these songs might like pop off and get played somewhere just because the way the music industry generally works with these things, but it's just not, it could have been better and it should have been better. Hopefully Doja Cat comes out with like an kind of back to the drawing board drop or an EP soon.
Yeah. It's whatever. Some people like it, some people won't, so.
Yeah.
Anyways, our arbitrary scale, because we always like to write arbitrary scales because scales don't make sense, is Dead Tech CEOs. For me, this is a solid Fahim Salah or Saleh. He was the one who was completely dismembered in New York a few years ago. He was the guy who I think he did Joe Biden was like some type of venture capital firm, a founding partner of one of those things too.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Found dead in Manhattan's Lower East Side.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It was in New York. He was, like, found in, like, bags and stuff. It was pretty brutal. Dude, yeah, he was young as fuck, too, so.
Oh, because he was, like, a founder of a Nigerian motorcycle ride-hailing company. And I'm going to, like, tap the brakes before I say something there about what happens when you fuck up in the Nigerian ride-hailing business. But moving on.
Yeah, moving the hell on. Blink 182, Blink 182's Mark Hoppus reveals that he has cancer. That apparently the past 3 months he's been undergoing chemotherapy to help with everything for his cancer process and everything. Which sucks. Guy says that he still has months of treatment ahead of him, but he's trying to remain hopeful and positive. He never said what he has, so not sure what exactly type of cancer it is, but definitely wish all the best for him. Because I know that I was pretty sure that Blink-182 is supposed to release some stuff soon. I would like to say this year, but a lot of that stuff might be on hold because of that, especially touring or anything. There's going to be no way with the state he's in.
Yeah, definitely got to hope the best for him and his recovery. I think there was former band member Tom DeLonge kind of spoke out kind of in support of him, hoping the best, and so did current bandmate Travis Barker also. Okay. Send good regards on that. So not much, just kind of like a big waiting game, wait and see, but yeah.
Sure, yeah, it's as much as you can do.
Yeah. Now we move on to the last album of the week. It is Deadpan Love with Cautious Clay, spelled like Cautious Clay, but said repeatedly in the album as Cautious Clay. So one of those. 14 songs, 33 minutes long.
I'm gonna call him Cement Clay from now on. So this is an album by Cement Clay. Just because I hate that, it just says that throughout it too. Cassius Clay, I'm like, okay, I liked your album, but now you're making me not like you. But whatever.
More Claymation. On
Claymation. Yes. All right, there we go. Boom. We found a name for him. So first track on Claymation's album, High Risk Travel. It's a decent track. It just does my favorite thing in the world, as everybody knows, which is stupid snap thing, which I was like, lovely. It really digs me into the clay of this album. But,
he hates it. I think Sean hates it.
I fucking hate that part. Because I thought it was like a decent track, and then you get to that part, I'm like, why? Well, but we'll move past it, because the rest of the album, there is good stuff in here. So after you get through that, you get to Shook, which I thought is a decent... I consider that trap and B-ish, that neo-pop genre that we've been getting a ton of work from this year. We've had album worth of it, but it's getting better. Everything, the production's getting better throughout the whole genre. You have all these artists that are putting out bangers, and the main important thing to me is this album is short. Every track is, you know, under three minutes, 2 minutes long or so. So everything is short and sweet and to the point, which in this genre you need to do because of how just crowded the genre is and how much just stuff is getting put out there. If you make something that's too long, it's going to be overlooked, and you might have something hidden in there that you may want to put it out that way, but it's not going to get listened to. It's going to get overpicked compared to all this other stuff that's coming out. So
yeah, I definitely say song three, Karma and Friends, matches right after that, yeah. Like this really nice neo-pop, like, thick bass line, nice singing, sort of, like, fun thing. It's the song's, like, kind of starting to blow up a little bit, too.
Eggs on the side, you got closet space to rescue.
I really like this song. I put this on our playlist when I first listened to this album, because I thought, because the first two tracks I thought were decent, but Karma and Friends, I'm like, I really, really enjoy this song. This is a genre that I know I'll like it here or there, but it's not something that I'll really engage or super listen to. But this track I've listened to a lot. Like as you said as well, really enjoyed it. I thought this is where he can shine and everything. It's just one of those, love the production, the beat. It feels super modern, but not over modern. If that makes sense.
Yeah,
it's a fantastic track.
Yeah, a little bit of a callback to old things, a little bit of a modern spin on things. You get a Strange Love with Saba, and it's just like a really sort of smooth, groovy kind of almost, like, I can feel certain little bits of jazz in this, if it makes sense, but it's just very smooth. Like, it's hard to really...
It's a decent, it's a good track.
Yeah.
You have some others. You have some stuff. You have after that you got Box of Bones, which I think is a decent track too. It kind of slows down a little bit because then it's more of like stop clap. I don't know what to call that, but like this, you get those art like neo pop songs and stuff a lot of the times. That was a decent track. You have Agreeable afterwards, which I thought picks the album back up and gets you more into that, similar to that Carmen Friend style of track, but it's a bit shorter than it and still good as well. God, my mouth is super dry.
Yeah. The song Dying in the Subtlety reminds me of a Brief Inquiry song. I'm trying to remember the name of it, but it is...
Inquiry song.
Yeah.
Stop living, or like, what do you mean?
I forget. The Why Can't We Be Friends If We're Not Lovers song.
Oh,
Sincerity Scary?
Sincerity Scary, yeah.
Yes,
Sincerity.
That's the one.
I can see sincerity in this a little bit, yeah.
See the pain I die, just for the simple
It's got like sort of a, especially the way
the bass Clay, for sure.
The bass and the way Clay is singing, and sort of the choirish way that the chorus comes together. I definitely can sort of see a little Matty Healy in the similarity.
I can feel that. It's not a bad comparison.
Yeah, more Matty, but I kind of liked it for that reason. The more Matty the better, but also the less Matty the better. It's an interesting.
Matty has this an audio face because we haven't had a talk about him in a long time. So there's that at least. Damon's in every other goddamn news story right now. So Damon needs to take a forced union break, a forced government mandated break. But anyways, I digress. I feel like you have a little interlude track of why is your clay so cacious? I'm like, goddamn, fucking. Why'd you make your name that? But anyway, I thought it was actually kind of funny because it was trying to force you to say, hey, people call me cautious all the time or this or that, which I can understand. But, you know, you're cement clay from now on. So that's all that matters. Artificial Irrelevance after that is a decent track, too. Kind of is a little bit slow, I thought, right after that. But it's decent. And then towards like the end, the last couple tracks I thought were decent, but it was a little too slow for me for the ending. But that's just a personal preference, I think, for just what I like normally.
No, I can definitely agree with you. And I definitely do have that personal preference bias of songs that end, maybe not end, but song. I mean, like albums that just like end in a proper way, yeah. But also songs that are a little bit more upbeat in a broader sense. I felt like the album ended sort of softly and slowly, which can be a good, nice choice, but just not my preference.
Yeah, because compared when you have a couple really good tracks, Karma and Friends, Subtlety.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah, it's one of those days, Dan. One of those days. But you have some of these decent tracks in here. So that was the thing with me, that the way it ended in a little bit of disappointment with me, because I was left wanting more. I was left wanting more substance in there instead of it just completely slowing and dying down on it. But it wasn't a bad effort at all. I thought it was a decent album overall, and there are some very good tracks in here. And I definitely think Karma and Friends is a track that can blow up easily.
Yeah, I want more. I definitely want to see the rest of Cassius Clay Ruski's career and everywhere it goes, honestly.
Yeah, 100%.
It'll be really interesting. And with some more instrumentation and some more like experiments with how the music could potentially work, I think it could be a really good show. Yeah. Arbitrary Scale. Cassius Clay, I'm gonna give this to Steve Jobs.
God damn, I was gonna say the same thing.
Like, I don't know many like dead eccentric tech CEOs, so like, there's only a few, and we have to give this the sweater
man himself.
Absolutely, pour one out for. You know, I just don't feel saucy. I was gonna make a callback reference to another story, but anyways, let's move on. This is great. So it finally happened where one of my political topics ended up crossing up to the music world because of a technicality. Because Steven Crowder, who is a popular YouTuber, does a lot of quote-unquote comedic bits about different things. Many of those things involve music. Most of those things involve racism, but a lot of those things do have songs attached to them for whatever reason. We can talk about him in this podcast because we can nominate Steven Crowder for the Noted Little Bitch Award.
The heavens have come down. Angels are coming down with trumpets, coming down to bless us for thy bidding of nominating a one Steven Crowder of the Noted Little Bitch, because... It is past time. It is past. He has finally paid his taxes, paid his dues, and he can make it on the podcast. It's about fucking time.
Steven Crowder has made his whole big thing about debate culture and debating people. He has this whole thing on college campuses called Change My Mind. There's a Change My Mind mug. His subscribers are called the Mug Club, so it's a whole big deal. but he goes into college campuses and puts a
you've seen that. You've seen that meme and everything.
Yeah, it does all that stuff. And it was part of debate culture, which was like big in the early part of the Trump administration. And it was something I covered very heavily in the context of Miley Yiannopoulos, Ben Shapiro, Prager University, all those things, very visible, youtube.com/DanForTheInternet, of course. And it would appear that Steven Crowder wouldn't want to turn down an opportunity to communicate his ideas to the public, because he's like one of the people who have been the vanguards, the leaders of this debate movement. And so it's interesting when 3 years ago there was an opportunity for Sam Cedar to debate Steven Crowder. Sam Cedar being a talk show host on the left, full disclosure, the co-host of Sam Cedar is Emma Viglin, who I know from my previous job, TYT, and she was also on a PowerPort episode. Go to youtube.com/DanForTheInternet on that. Everybody needs. But that is, they've had this sort of history where it's very clear that the last minute, according to the convention that was hosting Steven Crowder and Sam Cedar, Steven Crowder, more clearly his dad, pulled him out of the convention and the debate, saying he got cold feet. And so Steven Crowder does not acknowledge Sam Cedar for years on end. There are even times
where, have like, made jokes on this podcast numerous times when, number when this times. Is going down.
Yeah.
Number and of times.
There have even been points where, like, Steven Crowder releases, like, these montages where he's, like, destroying people on the left, and then Sam Cedar's accidentally in one, and then it gets taken down and then put back up, but the Sam Cedar part's taken away from it. So it's a clear, like, duck and hide kind of deal. Until H3, Ethan, that guy from YouTube, gets thrown in the mix. Steven Crowder challenges H3 to a debate, and Sam Cedar ambushes the debate and gives Steven Crowder a calm opportunity to actually debate him and speak his mind, say his mind, give him his words and things he cares about, and he runs away screaming like a little bitch.
Literally screaming like a little bitch. And the best remix I've ever heard ever is the Steven Crowder remix, where he's like, "Oh no, Sam Cedar, what a fucking nightmare." That thing is the funniest thing I've ever heard.
There's a couple of different ones. I gotta find the right one, but like it.
There are a plethora of them, so that's why we can officially nominate Steven Crowder for the Not a Little Bitch Award. Beautiful.
Yeah, that's just a great job. Once again, showing that the intellectual dark web, the power, the prowess of the right wing can never truly be beaten, really ever. They're truly the best, number one, biggest brain thinkers.
We are number one.
These are the ones who are vying for power and will probably successfully gain power in America and will bring it down in the next 20, 30 years to come. Hashtag no politics. And of course, we always like to end audio face in a fun note. That kind of was the fun note, because this is just going to be like a quick little ripperoni here. But rest in peace to Gift of Gab, who was one of the rappers from the rap collective Blackalicious, who is dead at the age of 50. Another, like, great ones from the rap game, dead at the age of 50. Of course, MF Doom comes to mind. But Blackalicious, known as Timothy J. Parker, died on June 18th. Cause of death hasn't been released publicly, but he had been diagnosed with kidney failure in 2014 and was been doing dialysis for a while since then. So that's just like a ticking time clock, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a lot with that.
Yeah, for folks who know people who have been through that dialysis process, you know, it's
fucking bad.
Yeah. It's hell. And don't even get into the ways those like dialysis companies just profit off of that whole thing. But like, maybe a future power core, people are interested. Anyways, Blackalicious is just one of those like early rap collectives that were just super classics. They were just definitely would be considered like old head music right now. They're lyrically dense, but they're often like really good at telling stories with like morals in it. My personal favorites, which is one I was literally playing like a couple days ago, was Deception by Blackalicious off of their album from 1999, Nia, which is... it's kind of everything. I'll have it play out just sort of like the end of the show. It has this like sort of nice piano piece. It has a whole almost like Danger Mouse big like rap band production, but still like enough of a production to like rap over it. And the story is about, you know, a rap artist in the music industry who comes up on the underground game, ends up becoming a hit, but forgets his roots. He forgets where he comes from. The refrain in the song is "Don't let money change you." And it's basically just how karma came for him. He
tried to come back, but everyone he like dissed and made fun of, who were like from his old hood, basically turned his back and laughed on him in the end. So,
Songs for life.
The song, yeah, it's one of those really like amazing songs for life. The end lyrics I'll pull up here really good at the end because I think they're just a nice thing to end on. But the moral of the story is that some go, why would money make the inner vision crumble? So if you're blessed with a talent, utilize it to the fullest. Be true to yourself and stay humble. I think that's just a great kind of thing to apply.
Yes.
So thank you, Gift of Gab, Timothy J. Parker, Blackalicious, for that great beat. We'll end the Audio Face with that. You can find Audio Face wherever you get podcasts, or for all the links at audioface.show. You can find Sean on Twitter at SW Suarez, or on Instagram at the same thing. You can find me on Twitter at Dan from the Web, and on Instagram at Dan from the Internet. Like we said, audioface.show for all the stuff, and we'll be back next week. Maybe in a more ASMR way, maybe with better audio, maybe with worse audio. You never know. We're just having fun here. Thank you, Peter. We'll be back. Cheers.
Toodaloo.
This is a story of a kid, his name is Cisco, who made more money than the Count of Monte Cristo. He lived a lavish style of life, fast money, women, cars, and he liked to frequent bars, pubs, and discos. Made his living as a world-famous rap star. When he first started, Mike respects what he was after. And so he got inside his mind day and night, and he write constantly his art and crap he tried to master. Started winning local battles and his rep grew. Gave his crew a reputation as the best crew. With it.